Good morning. Good to see everybody here. What a beautiful day. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 6. And today, I'm going to continue and finish up last Sunday's message. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 19. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, if you're able to stand. Luke 6, 12 through 19. During those days, he went out to the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. When daylight came, he summoned his disciples and he chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. After coming down with them, he stood on a level place with a large crowd of his disciples and a great number of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those tormented by unclean spirits were made well. The whole crowd was trying to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Father, we ask and pray today that God, we will reach out to touch Jesus, because His power is being released unto us at all times. And all we have to do is receive it and put it to work in our lives. And Father, thank you for the reading of your powerful word today. And God, we ask and pray that you would release the power of your word into our hearts and lives. Give us wisdom and understanding that, Father, what we've heard, we will put it to use in our lives, that, Father, we will bear good fruit. And Lord, help us as we are called disciples to carry out the work that you've called us to do. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit and nothing from my own words or my flesh. And we ask it all in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to finish up something real quick from point one last Sunday that I did, because we had to get to the baptisms. But I was telling you how the scribes and the Pharisees were about their laws and how they were so committed in their laws. There was no other way. And they always tried to get their laws to go up above the commandments and the laws of Christ. Now, I want to say something real quick about the church. I believe it's important that every church has, you know, some kind of bylaws and something in place, but I also believe that it should be ordained by God. And I didn't get to say that last week, but I believe it's important that every church has bylaws and some type of constitution to form the church, but it has to be done, and I need to say this, it has to be done under the ordinance and the movement of God and the Holy Spirit. And I always believe, too, that they are important, but we should, as a church, we should never let those things overtake God's commandments and God's laws in the church. Now, today's exciting because we're looking upon Jesus calling the disciples and how that was done, and about us today. Jesus' power led 12 men to come and follow him. Now, I just read in Scripture in verse 12, and it says, during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent all night in prayer to God. All night long he prayed to God before choosing 12 disciples. And I want to say this. Now, you don't have to pray all night, but if the Holy Spirit ever urges you to pray about something and it's all night, I would be up all night praying. And if I had to go to work the next day or do whatever, I'd have to really ask the Lord to give me the power and the strength to make it. But it's really awesome to note that before he chose 12 disciples, he prayed all night about it, because Jesus just didn't want to go out and pick anybody. He didn't want to go pick out the men to be called apostles that was not in God's plan. He didn't want to go out into the highways and byways and just get somebody because of their name or their stature or whatever, or how much money they had. Jesus wanted to get the men according to his Father's will. And after Jesus prayed all night, and he knew that he had to know the Father's will, he wanted to take the situation before God. And I want to say that as the church, it is so important for all of us to remain faithful in prayer. You and I were called by his disciples the day we got saved. Now, 12 disciples were called, but these 12 men were the first, and they had to be selected by Jesus. Now, I want you to know, you were selected by Jesus the moment you got saved, because Jesus said that if anybody would follow him, they would be his disciples. And I want you to know, these 12 men that followed Jesus, they gave up everything. These men were committed to him, except for we know that Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus and kissed him on the cheek and sold him over for a bunch of money. And when he realized what he'd done, he went out and hung himself. So anyway, there was basically then 11 disciples there. But these disciples were committed. They followed Jesus. They saw miracles performed. They witnessed a lot of lives changed, and I know that they were learning everything they could about prayer. And as the church, it's so important for you and I that we remain in prayer. Somebody was telling me the other day that, boy, the struggles in life have been so severe. And things have been really hard. And I understand that, because we'll all go through things in this life that are a struggle. And we know that because Jesus had struggles, and Jesus told us that we would have the same things in our life, but we are to rest and lean on him in those times. But I said, you know what? The thing about struggles, when we learn how to get on our knees, when we learn how to kneel, then we know how to stand when we come to face a battle or any hard situation in life. And the thing that I like about it is God was right there with Jesus through Jesus' prayers. And when we are praying, I want you to know that you have an advocate. You have somebody standing in the gap for you when you're praying to God the Father. Every time that you pray, I want you to know this: Jesus is right there. And even when you don't know the words to pray, when you can't find the words, when you're so heavy, sometimes it's called a groaning of the Spirit, then the Lord understands the grief in our hearts, and the Lord will provide comfort for you. So when we're praying, Jesus, our advocate, he is talking to the Father on our behalf, and he is pleading our case for him. That's why I firmly believe that we as Christian people should never cease in praying. When we pray, we are preparing ourselves for battle. When we get up of a morning, we should hit our knees to the floor first thing. How many of us pick up this device first thing? How many of us pick up the remote control and turn on the TV and start taking in the garbage news of the day? How many of us get other things in the way of Christ before we ever get up out of bed and start our day. Our day should be hemmed in prayer. When your day is hemmed in prayer, you've probably heard this saying, it is less likely to become unraveled. I saw Laura saying that. She knows. I'm sure the rest of you know too. But when we hem our day in prayer, I mean, it fortifies us, it strengthens us, and it makes us immovable. Because when we pray, we are showing God that we are taking a step of faith to trust Him to guide us through each step that we take. And I want you to know this, before you make any decision in your life, if you're single or you're married or whatever, before you make any decision, always go to God in prayer. And if you have to pray days or weeks about it, never make a decision until you have heard an answer from God. Now, I want you to know this. God gave us a free will because God didn't want to control us like a bunch of little robots. So He gave us a free will, and you have your choice to live life how you want, but this is what God's desire is. God's desire is that you come to Him and submit your whole heart and life and follow His commandments and be obedient as a disciple. And I want you to know, when these 12 men were called as disciples, I wonder how much excitement had filled their hearts and lives. I mean, really, if Jesus was here right now and say all of us were up and He was looking for 12 disciples out of this church, how many of us would be sitting around excited going, wow, Jesus is here and He's going to pick 12 of us to follow Him to be His disciples? How many of us would be excited to hear Jesus call our name? Well, I want you to know, Jesus has called your name. And now, disciples, it's time for you to step up to the plate. It's time for you to quit playing the role of casual Christian. And it's time for you to start walking out the calling that God has placed on your life. And I want you to know that the 12 disciples in the Bible never had an easy life. They weren't given a royal red carpet laid out. They didn't get special treatment. How many times were the disciples despised, beaten, cursed, mocked, made fun of, placed in prison, and yet they still served God to the very end of their own lives? And that's what God's desiring out of you and I. Now, He's called you, and if He's called you, guess what He's going to do? He's going to equip you. He is going to give you every single thing that you need in your life to carry out the calling that He's placed upon you. But you know what He needs out of us? He needs a willing heart. He's not going to knock you over the head and hypnotize you and say, okay, now I'm going to make you a disciple. That's not what God's going to do. God's going to look at your heart and He's going to see that you're in the right place, that you're walking with Him, and that you're humble and that you're open and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of you. And you know what? He's going to stretch you out to make room for growth. And as He stretches you out, it's going to feel uncomfortable. And what I mean by stretching you out is it means when you're going through trials in life, when you're going through the hard times, He's teaching you something. You're growing. And what Jesus wants us to know during these times when we're facing persecutions or sickness or whatever it may be, Jesus is wanting us to know that He is there, He is present, He will never leave us, He will never forsake us, and He's always filling us, and He's always meeting every need. That's what I love about the Lord. And I know that He released power into His disciples. And get this, A lot of the disciples went around, even Peter, after Jesus ascended back into heaven, they would lay hands on people and pray for their healing, and just like that, people were healed. And I want you to know, it wasn't by the disciples' power either. It was by the power and authority that Jesus was given by God the Father that allowed the healing to take place. And you are not just an ordinary person. You being called as a disciple, God has released power into you, and you have been given the authority through Jesus Christ that when you pray for people to be healed, know this, it's not you and I that does it. All glory goes to God the Father. But we have the power to lay hands on people and to pray for them. Even the Bible says in the book of James to anoint their head with oil, call the elders of the church, lay hands on them, pray for them, and the sick will recover. It says it in James. And I don't know why churches aren't practicing that today. And you don't have to do it just on Sunday. You can go to somebody's house any day of the week, and you can go and lay hands on people, and you can pray for them, and when God moves, they will be healed. Now, it may not happen exactly. I tell you what, I've been healed on the spot, and there's been times that I needed healing for something, and it took a long while, and sometimes physical pain was unbearable that I had to deal with, but I tell you what, the Lord came through, and the Lord eventually gave me healing. And you know what? There are even times when I was facing bad moments in life that I would sit there and say, God, why aren't you healing me? Why haven't you removed this from me? And then I go back and remember when Paul had a lot of things, a lot of people opposing him. Paul had a lot of situations in his life that were kind of weighing him down. And Paul kind of said, you know, it's like a thorn. It's a thorn in my side. And he was asking God, well, why don't you remove the thorn from my side? Paul was basically saying to God, I want you to get rid of what's tormenting me in my life so that I can have some peace. And you know what God said to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. And I want everyone to know this. God's grace is sufficient for you. So when you're going through something in life, don't sit there and question God about it. Don't get confused by the enemy. David and I were talking about this morning before church. The devil likes to come at you when he knows you're getting close to God, and he wants to twist your mind into believing a lie so that he can get you away from your relationship with God in order to destroy you. So when you're in the middle of a storm or a trial, or you're in a valley, you look to the lily of the valley, you look to the bright and the morning star, and you call out to Jesus. And if you have to sing, if you have to pray, if you have to worship, if you have to go witness, if you need to go serve somebody else, go do it. But don't sit idly by and let the devil come in and destroy your camp. You are a called disciple of God. Jesus Christ is alive in our hearts and lives. And if we are a called disciple, then we need to live by the power that He has given to us. We also have to have power as His disciples to teach His Word. The disciples were Jesus' closest companions because they were with Him all the time. And do you know how close we are to Him? Do you know what a loving Father, what a loving Savior we have? And we are all His closest companions. Even after He left this world, after the resurrection, He gave us the power of His Holy Spirit. And why did He give us the power of His Holy Spirit? Because He knew that we would need help to walk through life on earth. I want to share something with you. I don't know if a lot of you may not. I may have said something about this. I don't know. But years ago, I used to be filled with the worst anxiety. And the doctor put me on medicine for it. He did. I sat and I did. I worried about everything. And I'd shake and just sweat. And I lived in constant fear. And it got to a point where the ministry God called me to do was suffering, and I wasn't preaching anywhere. I wasn't getting the calls. I wanted to be a pastor, and I'm sitting there going, I wonder what's the matter. Well, when I decided to give in to my fears, and when I decided to live a crippled life, then God couldn't use me. And why? I want to say this to you, and I want you to listen. Because I didn't have faith. I didn't have an unmovable faith. I trusted in what I saw with my human eye. I trusted what I knew with the human mind, and it crippled me. And I want you to hear this. It took a lot of praying. It took a lot of, sometimes, I'm going to say this, cussing, because I was angry. It took a lot of frustration. It took a lot of negativity. It took a lot of myself to really ruin what God had laid out for me. But it was the moment that I finally had to say, somebody came to me and said, I don't know what's going on in your life, but we need to talk. Man, you look like a wreck. And I was. And I started, I went and got some good biblical counseling from a pastor friend of mine. And I tell you what, it was the greatest thing in the world. God put somebody in my life to be there for me. And finally, I had to just finally surrender. God, I can't do this anymore. And guess, I'm going to tell you this, this is God's power. This ain't what Jim Cooper did. This is God's power. I quit taking the medicine. I quit having the anxiety and the panic attacks. I quit living in fear. And the moment that I got... Now, there were struggles. I'm going to tell you, there were struggles. But in those struggles, when the devil brought the negativity against me, that's when I had to say, all right, you are a soldier of Christ. It is time for you to pray and fight and worship and serve your way through this. It may not feel good physically, but I'm going to tell you this. In the Spirit, the Lord raised up a power inside of me. And when I would call out upon Jesus' name, He came to my rescue. And He was right there by my side. And I'm hoping something I'm saying is really going to be a ministering tool to somebody here this morning. Really. I'm not saying anything out of judgment or hate or any, and I never would poke fun at anybody having these kind of issues because I've been there and it ain't fun. But I want you to know this. There is a God in heaven who is ready to step in and take over your life, and His grace will be sufficient for you. And I want you to know today, Jesus is still calling disciples. He calls people from every walk of life. So don't ever think, well, because this is my name or this is where I grew up or whatever, I'm not worthy of being a call. Yeah, you are. He calls everybody from any walk of life. God can take the most hateful, evil person and turn their heart around and make them a great disciple. That's exactly what He did with Saul. Saul murdered Christians. He breathed hate toward Christians. And when he had his encounter with Jesus, it wasn't his physical eyes that were opened. The Lord opened the eyes of his heart. And He let him see what life was truly about. And that's what I want to encourage you to do today. Let the Lord open the eyes of your heart and let God in. When God's knocking on your door and He's wanting to take 100% control of your life, don't say, "Oh, well, Lord, I'll give you 70 and I'm keeping 30, or we'll do this 50. No, God wants 100% or nothing. God wants a willing heart and a willing vessel. And if you will do that, and I'm not saying this either to be spiteful or whatever, but we've got to come to a place in our lives where we quit making excuses. Where we quit saying, "Well, I was raised that way, and now I'm affected this way, so I'm not a good Christian and I can't do it." Baloney. Christ gave you a new start in life, a new creature. The old things were passed away. Your old life that you knew is gone. Quit putting your hand to the plow and looking behind you. How can you prepare your field if you're constantly looking back? Put your hand to the plow and you walk forward and you ask God to guide you. And as you prepare the field, God will plant the seeds, God will water the seeds, and God will bring an abundant harvest. But don't lay on your back and say, "Father, I'm too weak to do this. I'm not worthy enough. Well, Lord, I just don't have it in me to witness." If you came to Christ, you have it in you. It's not by your power and by your authority that things are done. It's all by God and His authority and power. And I wish a lot more preachers would preach this kind of stuff. Preach the Word and not just some doctrine. Preach the Word of the Lord. Why? Because when we preach the Word of the Lord and we take the Word of the Lord in, it goes forth in power and it builds us up and it makes us want to serve Him in every way. His power made people whole. Now, as I read in verses 17 through 19, as the people were coming down, there was a large crowd of His disciples and a great number of people from Judea and Jerusalem. And verse 18 says, they came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases, and those tormented by unclean spirits were made well. Now, I want to tell you something. There were people possessed by unclean spirits back in those days, and it still happens this same day. It happens very much still yet. People are possessed by unclean spirits. People need to be delivered from physical sickness as well as spiritual. And it is up to you and I to pray for these people, to witness to these people, and to let them know there is a Savior who cares about them and their problems, and He has come in full power and glory to bring deliverance to their life. So whatever it is in your life that's going on, you have to come to Jesus and you have to make your problem known. You do. You've got to. I believe this too. If we're going to deal with something head on, then we need to name it out. We need to tell the Lord, "This is what I'm having a problem with, Father. I like to gossip." Or, "Father, I find myself being jealous or angry." Or, "Father, sometimes I tell little white lies to get through a situation." You have to really name it out before the Lord. And then you have to ask God to forgive you. Repent and forgive. Ask God for forgiveness. And then you ask God to release the power in your life. And you know what? I believe this too. You need to find good, sound, solid people to have in your life. How in the world are you going to have a good, well-balanced Christian life if you're making friends with the entire world and living in sin? It's not possible. It's not possible at all. You can't squeeze something sweet and get something sour out of it, can you? No. So for your life, You've got to get the power of the Lord inside of you. You've got to draw from Him day after day. And I want to tell you this, friends. When His power starts flowing through you, it'll change you. And I always say this. I'm not trying to change people into any certain religion or any certain... You worship God how you feel the Lord moving on you. Don't ever listen to somebody else to how you should worship. Janine and I, years back, we went into a church and we thought it was going to be a good little church. And the man and woman owned the building, and that's bad right there. That was bad right there. And he was pastor. Well, he got mad one Sunday morning. He started throwing a baby fit right in front of the whole church. All because one person bowed their head and started praying and was sitting there quiet. Their heart was calling out to God for something apparently going on in their life. And he stood up and says, "You just wait a minute. What are you doing?" He said, "You don't get out of step from the rest of us. You follow along with what the rest of us..." He said, "I'm the pastor of this church." And he said, "You stay with the rest of us and don't try to get ahead of nobody else." And boy, I mean, I told Janine, we're out of here. That's a bad environment to be in right there. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how long the Lord will have me in ministry here at Boscadale Baptist Church, but I'll never get in this pulpit and say, "Now you got to do this way." Uh-uh. I want everybody in here to know that you serve God and keep your eyes on Him. And you worship the Lord, because when you start to worship, His power will be released. Don't ever let something block what God wants to do in your life, what He wants to pour into you. Don't say, "Well, this is how I am, this is how I'll always be." No. No. I've told you before, now my mom and dad, yeah, they put a roof over our head, but my dad was abusive. My dad was physically and mentally abusive. And I never once said, "Well, God, I can't preach because my father used to abuse me. I'm no good. I'm damaged. I'm no good to you." I never said that to the Lord. But what I did say finally, when the Lord called me to preach and I decided to quit running away from it, because I was scared of what He could do with me, really, I said, "Father, You change who I am and You make me what You want to be." Because I'll tell you what, I went from an 18-year-old hateful, evil, I ain't kidding you, I'd cuss you out. And if you made me mad, probably would have slugged somebody. That's how bad I was because of what was put into me. And when I came to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you want to talk about a 360 change. You want to talk about a God who washed me in the blood of Jesus and made everything new. Has life been easy? No. But I tell you this, I love people and I love to pray for people, and God changed my life and He can change yours too. Now, I'm not standing up here casting judgment. I'll never do that. I don't ever want to judge nobody, because your life, it's between you and God. If there's something in your heart and life this morning that you need to get right, you do it with God, you and God. Because I want to see every single one of us living by that power. We need to be like the woman that there was, the woman that was hemorrhaging, that had the blood flow. And this is what she said through the crowd and the throngs of people: "If I could only touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed." And folks, that's what we need to be saying today. I just need to reach out. If I could just touch the hem of His garment, then the power will go out from Him. If you do it in faith and in love, you reach out and grab Jesus, His power will be released into you, and you'll never be the same.